Hi, good evening, everybody. Welcome back. I hope everybody had a wonderful Pesach, an inspiring Pesach. And it's amazing how after you put the Pesach dishes away, a few days later, it feels like Pesach was already a year ago. before I begin, I just wanted to let everybody know that the Orah Torah's website has been updated. And now, if you want to hear the last... This last conference call or any conference call, there will be a link on the website directly. So there's going to be a page there of Shiurim, and you can just click on it, and it'll bring you directly to the link in TorahDownloads.com of the latest Shiur. And I will try to keep that as current as possible. Probably will take like a day or two afterwards. And of course, you could always call in on the number in the email to hear the last reported Shiur. I want to speak this week about Hilchos Sfiras HaEmer, that although women aren't obligated to count Sfira because it's a time-bound mitzvah, but many women do choose to keep the mitzvah as they do the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrig and Shefer and other mitzvahs. And the thing is that many women get discouraged because, well, more often than not, being that they don't go to Marav and Daven with a Minyan, it's very hard to remember every night to count. And once a person misses the night, they feel like there's really no point counting anymore. Now that's a misconception, which is shared by many people, but it's incorrect because this is really the way it works, that there's a disagreement amongst the Paiskim, the Rishayim, whether in order to do the mitzvah sfira, you need to count every night, or do we say that each night is its own individual mitzvah, and it really has no effect on the mitzvah whether you counted a previous night or not. So in halacha, we actually hold that the main opinion, the majority opinion, is the opinion that holds that it really doesn't make a difference if you miss a day. Each day is its own individual mitzvah. Each day is like its own matzah. We don't care if you ate matzah the first Seder or you didn't. You eat matzah the second night. It makes no difference. And Sfiras HaEmer is the same way. That is the majority opinion. However, being that there is an opinion that holds that you need to do them all together in order to be able to do the mitzvah, so therefore, if someone missed a night, we refrain from making a bracha, because when it comes to brachas, we tend to be a lot more machmir than we typically are, a lot more stringent, because making a bracha when you aren't supposed to is a serious offense. You're saying Hashem's name in vain. So we skip the bracha, but skipping the bracha has no effect on the mitzvah. You're not making the bracha, but the mitzvah is the same mitzvah, and therefore, no matter how many nights you did or didn't miss, there is absolutely no reason why you shouldn't continue to count without a bracha and do the mitzvah in that way. So it's very important to not be discouraged just because you missed a night and you're not making a bracha anymore. It really doesn't diminish the mitzvah. Secondly, what's important to know is that very often the situation can be salvaged. For example, if someone forgot to count at night, so I'm sure many of you know that as long as you remember to count the following day during the daytime, even though at that point you don't count with a bracha, but as long as you set the day, you know what day of Sfira was, as soon as you remembered, then the following night you can continue counting with a bracha. And this goes for whatever the situation is. For like, if you counted one night and you didn't count with a bracha, so it doesn't make a difference. As long as there was a counting that took place within the right, correct 24-hour period, you counted and you counted the right night, you can continue the next night with a bracha. It's only if you totally, totally didn't count, not by night, and you totally didn't count that following day, and you totally missed the 24-hour period, and now you're out the next night, then you can't count with a bracha anymore, but you certainly should continue counting if you want to do this mitzvah. Now, if you are unsure if you counted the previous night and you truly can't remember if you did or you didn't, there also you are permitted to continue counting the following night with a bracha, which is interesting. In other words, even though you're not sure, it's very possible you didn't count the previous night. You're not 100% sure. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. You can't remember. You are allowed to now continue counting this night with a bracha. And the reason for that is, because, like I said before, the majority opinion holds that it really doesn't make a difference if you missed the previous night. And it's just that we are worried when it comes to brachas. We try to avoid a problem with brachas as much as possible. So, therefore, we skip the bracha if you totally missed a night. But if you have any sort of suffix, if you have any sort of, you know, you're not sure whether you missed the following night or the previous night or not, so we say, okay, so that in combination with the fact that it's probable, you probably don't even, doesn't make a difference if you miss a night, so we say you can continue counting with the bracha. So it turns out not only if you counted the by day, you can continue counting the next night with a bracha, but even if you're just not even sure what you did or what you didn't do, you can also continue counting the following night with a bracha. However, if you counted the previous night and then you found out you counted the wrong number, you said 16 and it really was 15 or 14, whatever, then that's as if you didn't count at all. If you count the wrong number, it's simply as if you didn't count at all, and then it's as if you missed a night, and you continue counting without a bracha. However, if you did say the right day, you just messed up on the week. Let's say you didn't have a sitter, so you started making a calculation, and your math skills are lacking, so you say 16, and you add it up wrong, and you said the wrong amount of weeks and days, then you can still count with a bracha the following night, because as long as you set the right day, the weeks are not ma'akev. If you messed up with the weeks, that's okay, and you can still count the following night with a bracha, even though you haven't said the proper week. When a person is saying Sfiras Omer, you're supposed to stand up, both when you make the bracha and when you say Sfir, you're supposed to be standing. This is learned out of a pasuk. However, it doesn't invalidate the mitzvah if you do it sitting, and certain situations it might be better to do it sitting. Like, for example, let's say you're in a car and you're driving home and you're not going to get home until really late at night, and while you're driving you remember, oh, I didn't count Sfirah, and you know that there's no way you're going to remember to do it when you get home. Just do it there in the car while you're sitting. That's the best way to do it, and you can do the mitzvah that way, and you're yotzei. There is no difference if you say la'aymer or ba'aymer. Either way, it's acceptable. It's a question of minig, and there's no real difference in meaning between them. And after we say the aymer, we say harachamon, even the Beit HaMikdash, we say the harachamon that Hashem should rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And there's two reasons for this. One of the reasons is because since we mentioned bringing of the aymer, which was a carbon that was brought on Pesach, we mentioned bringing a carbon, we right away daven to Hashem that he should rebuild the Beit HaMikdash in order that we should once again be able to bring the Karban HaOmer. Another reason why we say this Harachamon is because, according to some Paiskim, the mitzvah these days of counting Sfira is not a mitzvah min HaTorah, it's only a mitzvah min Jarbanah, because in order to be a mitzvah min HaTorah, it requires the actual bringing of the Omer. And being that nowadays we can only do this min Jarbanah, so we daven to Hashem that we're doing this to remind ourselves of what we did in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a mitzvah midrabanah, but we daven that we should be zecha to be able to do this mitzvah min HaTorah when Hashem builds the Beis HaMikdash again. This week is Parshas Kedoshim, and it's really amazing how varied the assortments of mitzvahs are in this parasha. It almost has the most varied assortment of mitzvahs in any parasha of the Torah. The mitzvahs of this parasha extend, it talks about kibud av'aim, it talks about the mitzvahs of kachim and karbanis, intricate laws of karbanis. It speaks about the laws of what a farmer needs to leave over in his field to the poor people, the corner, peah, leka, things that fall down. It says the most, perhaps, famous halacha of the Torah, the most famous mitzvah, ha'achal reyach ha'samaycha, the golden rule, and the halachas of honesty, that you can't cheat other people, you can't steal from other people, you have to be honest in your business dealing, etc., etc. Almost every area of halacha is touched upon. There's halachas of Erech Chaim, of Yerideya, of Chesh and Mishpat, monetary laws, laws between a man and a wife, laws of kashrus, laws of daily mitzvahs. Almost every area of halacha is touched upon. What's interesting, though, is we do find a common thread. There's a phrase that keeps on repeating itself over and over again in this parasha. In the first three, four psukim of the parasha, it's repeated three times consecutively. And that phrase is, Ani Hashem, or Ani Hashem Aleikechem. It's said at the end of the pasuk as a supplement to many of the psukim and mitzvahs of the parsha. In the first three psukim of the parsha, it's the mitzvahs of Kedoshim Tiyu, be holy, Ani Hashem Elokecha, fear your father and your mother, keep Shabbos, Ani Hashem Elokecha, don't do Avodah Zarah, Al Tifnu Ela Alilim, Ani Hashem Elokecha, three times in a row. And then a number of times throughout the parsha, many, many times, this phrase is repeated in various different forms, Ani Hashem Elokecha, so on and so forth. Rashi, on a number of them, gives an explanation why it needs to be mentioned, but the bottom line is, between the common thread between all these Rashis is that the purpose of the statement of Ani Hashem Elokechem is to tell us, know that I am Hashem, and I know exactly what you're doing. If you think you can fool me, and you can make everybody think that you're keeping this mitzvah, but really you're not, you're going to try to find a loophole to make yourself absolved from this mitzvah when really you aren't, you're going to try to find a way to get yourself out of doing this mitzvah. Know that I am Hashem. I am your God. You need to fear me. I can punish you, and I will punish those who don't keep the mitzvah, and I'll reward those who do. This is how Rashi explains a number of the mitzvahs, specifically ones where perhaps easy to fool other people into thinking that you're actually doing the mitzvah when you aren't. So the message is very clear. The message is, do these mitzvahs, because of Yirat Shamayim, fear of God. Some of the psukim actually spell this out very clearly. Ne seva takum, stand up before an old man, v'hadarta pnei zakim, give respect to Talmud Chacham, v'yoreisa melechacha, and you'll fear Hashem, ani Hashem. Very clear. Fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I am your God, and therefore do the mitzvahs. It would seem that Yirat Shamayim is the ultimate motivator to keep the mitzvahs. But somehow we would think that fear isn't the right motivator. Shouldn't we ideally be motivated to serve Hashem from love, from Avat Hashem? Isn't that the ultimate form of Avodas Hashem? Service of Hashem out of fear seems like a dictatorship, a situation that people are forced into doing what they don't want to do because of fear of retribution, fear of punishment. That can't be the ideal way to serve Hashem. Why is Yirat Shamayim given such emphasis in this parasha with almost no mention of Ahavas Hashem? Why doesn't it say, Vahavta es Hashem and Ibn Seva Takim, love Hashem and therefore stand up? Why Yirat Shamayim? Obviously, to do justice to the concept of Yirat Shamayim is impossible in a few short minutes, but I want to clarify one point, which I think is often misunderstood or overlooked. The place of Yirat Shamayim is extraordinarily important in the relationship with Hashem. And to use an analogy, some relationships need to be defined by fear, or perhaps we can call it awe, or else the whole relationship is compromised and perhaps the relationship is totally negated. For example, think of a relationship a bachur might have with his Rebbe, or better yet, with his Rosh Hashiva. Or imagine relationships that you've had in the past with someone much greater than yourself, a teacher, a principal, a great person. So now, it's very important that students should feel loved and close to his Rebbe. It's wonderful if they have such a closeness that the student, the bachur, the girl can feel they can really share with the Rebbe or teacher the personal struggles and the victories. But the moment that the student oversteps the bounds and then the Rebbe or teacher in his eyes is reduced to a friend, someone who they perhaps call technically by the first name, if it was socially okay to do that, they have just destroyed that relationship. The bachur has lost a Rebbe, the girl has lost a teacher, a Rosh Hashiva, a principal. Maybe they've gained a friend, but a Rebbe? No, that can't be a Rebbe anymore. As close as we'd like a relationship to be, some distance is required to define the relationship. And in certain types of relationships, a huge breadth is necessary. In our relationship with Hashem, who is our God, fear is the key of the relationship. It's not that we fear retribution and that forces us to do what we'd rather not do. No. It's the fear of Hashem that gives us the proper respect and awe that we absolutely must have in order to have a relationship with Hashem. We can't even approach having a relationship to Hashem if that fear is not in place. It defines how we relate to Hashem. And of course, there's boundless love and connection and understanding in between Hashem more than we can possibly even understand, more than anybody can understand, how much Hashem loves us. But by definition, to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is our God, fear is the definition of that relationship. In the first parak of Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, same very famous Mishnah, Tignes Ish Seichai said, don't be altiyu ka'avadim ha'meshamshim nesarav al-manasa kalapras. Don't be like servants who serve only to get reward. Rather, serve even without the intent of reward. And then the last words of the Mishnah are, v'hi mer shemayim aleichem. And you should have the fear of heaven upon you. Rabbeinu Yaina, who wrote Shari Tshuva, a great Bali Musar and great Rishainim, the Rebbe of the Ramban, and he has a commentary on Pirkei Avos. And he explains these last words, v'hi mer shemayim aleichem. He says a beautiful thing. He says, and I quote, v'hi mer shemayim aleichem, you should have fear of heaven. Lavet es Hashem, me'yira u'me'ava. You should serve from Hashem from fear and love. Like a servant who serves his master because of his greatness. And he realizes that he can punish him. And here's where he explains. The nimsa, you see, and as a result of that, he will serve him out of fear. It's not because he fears getting punished. El mipnei gedulas harav, just because of the greatness of the rav, of the master, sheyesh biyadolanish, who has the ability to punish. So he begins by saying, serve Hashem from fear and love, and then defines that by yiras einish, being afraid of punishment. And he says, no, it doesn't mean you're afraid of getting punished. It means you have a proper respect, a proper fear of the greatness of the master who has the ability to punish. It defines the relationship. It gives us the distance and the closeness at the same time. It makes it a relationship between Hashem and ourselves. That is the ultimate motivator of every mitzvah. It's the true meaning of awesome, not the way it's being used today. But that is awesomeness, when you realize how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, how powerful he is, how much his ability is to reward and to punish. And then with that understanding, we approach having a relationship, a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with that proper respect and fear and awe. So then we can truly become close to Hashem. The current climate is such that we shy away from talking about punishment and retribution and all that. And that's certainly the right way to go about things, but that we can't misunderstand the fact and we can't ignore the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is awesome and fearsome. And that's key to having a loving relationship with Hashem. As Rabbeinu Yonah says, you have to serve Hashem through fear and love. And the two have to go hand in hand in order that we can have a true motivation and truly be grounded in our avodas Hashem. Have a good night and have a good Shabbos. Kol tov.